everybody.
A full week. Well, we didn't do a full week. We were off Monday.
Yeah. But we got to, the point is we got to all Friday.
Right. Doesn't matter how we got there.
We took a shortcut. We danced around Monday to get on the path to Friday, but here it is. It's Friday, the end of the work week. Congratulations. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. We're reachable at 312-981-7200. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Yourself?
You just said the nicest thing about Dave Ennett. Can I share it with the world? You said
sure.
He may be the nicest man I've ever met, Dave Ennett.
He really is, and he's talented.
Yep.
He's
smells nice.
He does smell nice.
Yeah.
It's weird you would notice
can't
that
say
before
a bad
me.
Word. Try saying a bad word about Dave.
I can't.
You can't. It's impossible. I have a confession to make. I am ill-prepared for today's show.
Why do you say that?
Well, normally I do sometimes 15, 20 minutes of prep work for the show, but today I did not because...
You're busy.
They've got me writing the holiday show, which will take place during this time slot 2 weeks from today, from 10 till noon. We'll be doing... I think this is the sixth or seventh year in a row we have done... kind of a radio production of a holiday show, and they've asked me to rewrite it, to update it a little bit, and here's the challenge. There's a lot more people who work here than there are parts in the show. So I've had to add scenes to something that's already kind of a holiday classic. I've had to add scenes so that everybody gets a part in it.
You're good, man.
Well, it's nice of you to say, but you haven't seen it yet. Could,
well,
it could be awful.
I doubt it.
I hope it's not, because I've put in, like, I worked on it. I was off all last week. We were both off all last week. So I worked on it all week last week. And then yesterday there was a meeting and they said, oh, by the way, we forgot all these people need to be in the show. And they handed me a list of 13 names in addition to the ones I had already added scenes for.
Did they ask the people? Because I would happily just be man number three in a crowd.
Steve, you have a very prominent role in this show.
Right? As he should.
As you should. As you demanded.
Right.
Steve said.
As he paid you for it.
I'm a radio actor.
There was, in the great Chicago tradition, there was some pay exchanging hands. But now Steve has a fantastic role.
Am I the ghost of Christmas Future?
No.
No?
No. I can't. I don't think they've divulged. Have they? Have they said what the show is
yet? I don't think so.
I don't think they have.
No,
so
oh, yes, they have.
The actual production, what the name is? Yeah, I think that's been brought up.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, but not who's doing what.
Oh, all right.
Justin.
Who's zooming who.
This morning, I
Justin
know.
Talked about it?
I think he did.
It's sort of, so I guess we can say, right? It's kind of an updated version of It's a Wonderful Life.
Why'd you tell people?
Mary said no, I could.
I'm kidding.
He already said.
All right.
I think.
But there will now be scenes in there, like, for people who know it inside out, because it's been, you know, they wrote it in the 30s, so they've been doing this forever. So for people who know it inside out, maybe this is good. Maybe they'll go, oh, here's a part of the story I'm not familiar with.
So you're taking out, like, rum punch, and you're putting in, like...
Well, you're not taking out much,
I'm
are
not
you?
I'm not taking out...
Malort. Put Malort in
Malort,
it.
Malort, yes. That'd be good.
Who, why, and is it a hipster thing? Have you tasted it?
No.
It's awful.
I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is.
Well, isn't
what
is it like an old man at the bar drink?
Oh,
yeah,
I
gross.
Think it is.
Well, why is this big hipster comeback of Malort?
I don't know.
I thought it was
have
like
you had
joke.
It, Mary?
No, I mean, my kids have, yeah, and they told me it's just
what is
nasty.
It comparable to? What does it taste
NyQuil?
Like?
NyQuil?
Like NyQuil?
Is it like a licorice thing? I don't
oh,
know.
Oh, maybe.
Ugh.
No?
It's just strong. That's all I
but
know.
But when I see it, I do think, like you said, that's an old man drink.
Well, was it your grandfather who used to bring you to the bar when you were
Yeah, my grandfather
young?
Would bring me to the bar.
Would he sit there and have Malort?
For what he referred to as beep and kiki, but it was beer and whiskey. But I was a kid.
Beep and kiki.
So he made it sound more fun.
So like, it's a Chicago booze. Did you know that?
Malort is.
The Carl yeah, Jepsen Company. Up, yeah. I didn't realize that till just now.
But when I think of drinks for older guys, I don't think of like 20-year-olds drinking that. I think of old guys. The only drink that I think of in my head that's for older guys is a drink. Did you ever see a drink called Old Granddad?
Yeah, but they wouldn't drink that.
Isn't that funny that they named a drink
yes.
that? Like who's your target audience for that? It's just really old guys, right? Old granddad. I would love to see two 21-year-old guys in a bar. Just set them up. We want as much old granddad as you can get your hands on. Keep them coming.
It's Chicago flag is on the label. I didn't know that. It has 3 stars on purpose, not because the designer...
It's not that good. If it was good, they'd give it 4 stars. They're like, here's the catchphrase for Malort. Eh. You want some more? It's all right.
The reason there are only three is because it predates the Century of Progress Expo in 1933, which inspired the flag's fourth star.
Oh.
So that's how long it's been around. Steve, I didn't know it was a Chicago thing.
Are we proud of that?
Sure.
Are we? All right.
Carl Jepsen is the guy who put it together. He was a Swedish immigrant. He came to Chicago in the 1930s along with his homemade spirit. He traveled with it.
Good for us.
Some people bring their imaginary friends. He brought his homemade spirit.
Jepsen loved drinking and selling Malort because it was one of the only things his tobacco-ravaged tongue could actually identify.
Wow. That's a pretty part of the story.
A cigar shop owner, yeah.
Wow. I can't taste anything else.
Right.
I don't know why he sounds like Jimmy Durante.
It's either that or taking, you know, the cue from a pool game and putting that on your tongue. Those were the only two things he could taste. And some people think that tastes better.
Right. It tasted like a Necco wafer. Malort beat Prohibition. The liquor was sold door-to-door by Jepsen during Prohibition with the loophole of being medicinal alcohol.
Oh.
Kind of like medicinal marijuana.
Yep. Good
Not
catch.
Not unlike that. Jepsen's Malort was the only legal product sold in America for 96 years, starting in 1912. Oh, boy. There's... the fan slogans, I can't read some of these. They get dirty.
Really?
Kick your mouth in the Hoosier what's.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are obviously not approved by the people who make the product.
No.
All right.
Malort, when you need to unfriend someone in person. Malort, tonight's the night you fight your dad.
So,
wow. Malort, the champagne of pain.
Oh.
It's bad.
I'm not saying these are inaccurate. They're just not very confident. They don't make you want to drink any of it. But how did... I'm so curious as to how something that was perceived as an old guy's drink all of a sudden the hipsters are into. Is it because of the irony of it? Is that what it is?
I don't know. 312-981-7200. I have to be honest with you. I never really had heard of it before until like maybe 5 years ago.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, I had no idea. Why? The Swedes are responsible for the recipe. Malort's Viking fuel is made in the style of a...
Viking fuel?
It's liquor distilled from potatoes, grain, or wood.
Up to who? Like, who makes that decision?
Very popular with termites.
We're out of potatoes.
I don't know a lot of Swedish, but I think Malort means wormwood.
Oh, does
yeah,
it?
That's what they are saying to. It translates to...
No, I read it.
Oh.
I wouldn't know that.
Steve, that's the kind of thing you would normally know.
Yeah, you pepper our conversations with these little tidbits.
Every one of us believed you.
Why'd you give up so easily?
Wormwood. I don't know.
It was used to ease menstrual cramps.
Still is.
Women that worked at the Marcel Distillery in Chicago during the 1960s would often pull bottles off the production line and drink them when they had cramps.
Wow. Doesn't that make you want some? I had no desire to drink it. And then you say that, I go, I got to get me some of that. That Malort, that sounds good. Maybe in a shake.
Maybe it'll work for hot flashes.
Mary, all you can do is try.
Why not?
A lot of people want to talk Malort. Can we take a quick break and come back and talk about Chicago's Malort given to us by the Swedes?
Yes. Thank you, Swedish people. Somehow, Wendy and I have started a conversation about a drink called Malort. I've never had it. You've never had it.
I have had it.
You have had it? Yeah.
I can't even remember what it tasted like. I thought Jägermeister was the big hipster drink.
I think it still is, but I think this is one of the up-and-coming challengers.
Well, Sharon has a funny Malort story, and we encourage anyone's funny Malort story. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
We love you. Both my husband and I, we listen to WGN all the time, and we had seen you at Tree Time, not this year, but last year. It was great.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, I have a funny Malort story. Several years ago, more than I can remember, I broke both my arms and my tailbone at one time.
That's not a funny
story. I went to a neighborhood party about 2 days later, and I was casted and all of that, and I don't drink, but somebody said, do you want some Malort? I said, oh, sure, I'll take it. I'm telling you, I took it, and they couldn't believe it because I'm really not a drinker, and it actually tasted good to me, and I had no pain.
Oh, my God.
Wow. It's a miracle worker.
I am not kidding you. Anybody that you would talk to that was at the party could not believe it. I was in so much pain at the time. It was crazy.
And now are you able to stop drinking it at some point, or is it just a daily occurrence
yes,
for you?
It I haven't is. Had a drink of it since.
All right, good news. That's very good news.
But I just have to, I mean, my husband is the one who said, you've got to call and tell that story about Malort, because, you know, it just was not on our radar.
Of course not.
You know, any Malort or anything like that. But there were some old guys at the party, relatives of, it was a down the block party, and they were drinking it. And so they said, oh, Sharon, you have to have some Malort. And I said, okay, I was like, I'll drink anything. And sure enough, wow. I'm telling you, I had no pain after that.
Wow. Good for you, Sharon. Well, thanks for sharing
thanks,
that.
Sharon.
And say hello to your husband, who's right next to you, telling the story as well.
Hi.
Yeah, well, we really, WGN is like a family to us. And thank you so much. We laugh all the time. So
Aww.
Thank
That's
you so
nice
much.
Of you. Thanks, Sharon.
Thank
Have a good
you.
Holiday.
That was a nice call.
I like that Sharon pointed out that there were old guys at the party, because I just assume if there is a bottle of Malort, there's going to be old guys fairly close by.
I have
you?
To agree with you. Yeah. Hi, Jim.
Well, hello.
What's your Malort story?
Well, my Malort story is, one time, this goes back a few years, about 15, 20 years. I and a friend of mine decided we were going to go out, have a sandwich, and have a few drinks after work. Okay, fine. We each have Italian beef sandwiches. We walk into a bar, and we started out with like a shot and a beer, and what happens is I offer to buy my friend a shot, and he says, I'll have whatever you're having. Well, we went back and forth with that concept for, I'll just say a few shots, you know, all different. And finally, I said, give us a double Malort.
Oh, a double.
Yeah, well, at any rate, I pick up mine, throw it down. It's awful. But I throw it down, keep it down, and a friend of mine picks it up, shoots this double. A look comes across his face, and it was like somebody opened a fire hydrant. We're talking instant.
He threw up. Oh, this is a lovely story. It's not really that funny.
It's not funny. Well, I'll tell you what. It was funny to see. I mean, I wish I had a video of it.
It's a cautionary tale, Wendy. That's what it is.
Yeah, that too.
And have you gone back and drank it since, or are you done with it?
I'll take Malort as a drop of something, like a drop of Malort. Believe this or not, a drop of Malort, not a shot, a drop of Malort in a margarita is nice.
Really? Because why? What does it add to the margarita?
It adds like a little kind of a little bitter type.
Oh.
It was rumored to have been flavored with gasoline, and it is not the case. The only flavor ingredient in Malort is wormwood, which is a bitter herb known for its ability to kill stomach worms and other parasites.
Oh, good.
So it's very good for you.
Sure it is.
In small quantities.
Well, I'm glad it's good for you, because it tastes like, I'm not going to say what it tastes like on the air.
No.
All right. Chosen.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's also the main ingredient in absinthe, which is a liquor known for its mythical psychedelic effects.
Oh, yeah.
Absinthe was banned in the U.S. I don't know if it still is or not.
It makes the heart grow fonder, Steve.
All I want for Christmas is my...
Go on.
Nope.
Refused. All right. Wendy passed out.
Wendy passed out, Steve.
Did I just repeat something you just said?
No. I just roll my eyes at Bill sometimes. He makes me laugh while rolling my eyes.
That's my goal.
We have another $100 gift card to Uncle Julio's to give away.
Yes, we do.
Made from scratch Mexican food. It's they have these lunch refresh bowls, handcrafted with mesquite grilled steak or shrimp, braised pork, or sautéed pulled chicken to revitalize your day. And here's how we're going to do it today.
Mm-hmm. Should Brandon call now?
No, from Deer Park. No.
Yeah. Yeah, I hung up on him
yesterday.
I've already
spoken to his lawyer, Steve. It's not pretty.
Please, don't bring that up. I finally forgot about Brandon.
Did you?
Yes.
I didn't think you would.
I did.
All right.
One day is my limit.
All right.
When you hear this song.
See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
When you hear that, not this time, this was just to
this
tell
is a
you
sample.
What, yes. When you hear that, not now, be the 10th caller, 312-981-7200, and we'll give you that $100 gift card to Uncle Julio's.
And that's sometime between now and the close of business, between now and noon?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? All right, so listen in for that. A lot more show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
This sounds like a sick
this
wildebeest.
This is a scary song. This is the scariest song, but Mark Norman requested it. He said, this is my opening theme. Please play this. Mark Norman was nice enough a year ago to come out to Tree Time. And boy, you I know this sounds crazy, but you blew the roof off the place
where
I said it. You
come
did.
On.
What? People loved you.
I don't know. I felt weird. It was
why?
Again, it was just like a hell for a Jew.
Well, and we this year we had Bobby Slayton come in. So
he's a nightmare of a Jew.
Yeah. We
love
go out
Bobby.
Of our way to find the most Jewish people we can find. Jackie Mason was out a couple years ago.
We have to represent everything, you know? That's what we do.
Well, that's what I like about Chicago. You're not a happy holidays town. You're a Merry Christmas town, gosh darn it.
That's so true.
100%.
Mark is performing at Zanies this weekend. You got shows tonight. You got shows Saturday, Sunday. Zanies.com has all the ticket information. I was just telling you, you were on James Corden's show. Well, you already know that part of it.
Yeah.
But I watched you, and I just said to myself, you can't do better than this. You know what I mean?
Career-wise, you can. But
yeah, I guess
thank
so.
You. It was a hot set. I appreciate it. I really ran the hell out of that set. I just did the Tonight Show like a month before, and I felt like I really killed it. Nobody saw it. So I said, you know what? I'm going to bring the heat even more.
Why do you think that is? Is the pressure so much on now because there's three really big shows at the same time? Is that what's going on?
I think that's what it is. There's a zillion comics now. Everybody's got a Netflix special. You know, my aunt has a special. There's HBO specials. There's comedy on TV. There's Crashing. There's I'm Dying Up Here. It's so much. So you really got to be a gay guy in a wheelchair who's trans and half, you know, autistic. And that's I'm a middle of the road skinny whitey.
Yeah.
I got nothing. I'm a cisgendered douche. So I got no, I got no pop.
Yeah.
So. I know exactly how you feel because it used to be pretty unique to have a radio show, and now the whole world is podcasting,
Yes, exactly. You're old news.
Yeah, I know.
The airwaves, get out of here. Now it's all iTunes, baby. Times are changing. We're old. I'm 35, and I feel like I'm Rodney.
At 35?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You still got a 2 or 3 good years in you.
All right, maybe. But, I got a little hair, and I can still get an erection.
Oh, well, congratulations, Mark.
Hard at the moment, actually.
Wait till you hit 40.
Oh, yeah? Well, we have pills. I always wonder, do you think Viagra is going to ruin the world?
Do you think it will? Why?
Well, because God, or whoever you believe in, Allah or Vishnu or whatever, he... You know, that's science. Like, you get older, you stop procreating.
Right.
But now you can keep procreating because you got the pills.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's but what do women say then? You know, it's like, you know, it kind of dies down, and sometimes maybe women might be relieved, but now it's like, get off my leg.
Yeah, you don't want to get me too'd.
But there is Viagra or a form of Viagra for women too now. You know this, right?
There is?
Yeah, there is. I don't know what they call it,
it's
called
lube.
God,
I assume.
Help us all.
Wait a minute. What does it do? Is it moisturize?
It
gives
you
the urge.
It puts you more in the
what?
Mood. Yeah.
Did you learn this on The View when you watched
it
every
day?
Is that right?
The View. Yeah.
Who was the guest? Bill Cosby? Jeez Louise. Oh, God. I can't believe that.
Bill Cosby and your aunt was on talking about her special.
Oh, yeah.
She's fantastic.
But now we know what her special is.
Yeah. It's called Spanish Fly.
Wow. The transition between New York and Los Angeles for you, easy or difficult?
The actual flight?
No, not the flight.
Oh.
Just existing.
Moving out
when
there?
When you're from one place and you have to work in the other, it's challenging.
Oh, it's a definite trend. I identify as a New Yorker, but I've been to Los Angeles a lot, and I feel like the crowds are easier, but they're a little more sensitive. You know, it's L.A., it's sunshine and rainbows and marijuana. New York's the subway and a guy masturbating and a guy urinating right in your, you know, Chipotle. So L.A. is definitely different, but it's fun to visit. I just don't know if I could live there. It's so isolating. You know, you're in your car, then you're in your apartment, then you're back in your car, then you're at work.
Yeah.
You know, you got to make like a lunch date if you want to see a friend.
Right.
And then they blow you off. It's brutal.
because they might have something. They might have an audition. There's
exactly.
a lot of that. Can't
exactly.
do something because I might have something.
Right. I might have a part I'll never get.
Right.
So I gotta practice. And you
know. That's really sad when I think about it.
Yeah. No one works. No one has a job in L.A. Maybe they'll work at a coffee shop, but otherwise just auditioning.
Yeah. Are you getting recognized now, Mark, from all the TV work? Are people starting to see you and say, I know that guy?
A little. To Catch a Predator really did wonders for me. I got hit up in the airport. I went to Starbucks last night. I got a picture taken. So it's happening. But I don't know if I want to be famous.
You don't want to be famous? Why?
No. I mean, I have famous friends, and I see what they go through, and I'm like,
really?
That's no good.
Drop a name. Who's like the most famous? Like even you go, I can't believe this guy or this girl's my friend. Who would that be?
Well, like Amy Schumer, I used to open for.
Yeah,
and I watched her just go from like normal club comic to Madison Square Garden movie star, you know, huge, hosting this, hosting that, and that now I see her, and you can't walk down the street without her, or without her getting jumped and harassed.
Everybody knows her now.
You know the Impractical Jokers?
Sure.
I love those guys.
Best guys on the planet. I know those guys. Sal Volcano is a good buddy, and he'll be on the sidewalk. An 8-year-old will come up and go, I love you. An 80-year-old will come up and go, I love you. And like a 50-year-old will come up and go, I love you. He hits all the demos.
Yeah.
That's a really funny show. We had a three out of four or two out of four of them up in the studio
a while back.
We had
Murr on.
Who looks just like my doctor, which is kind of frightening to me.
Oh, weird.
Like almost exactly.
So you saw him and you just bent over.
Yeah.
Out of habit.
Out of politeness.
Yeah.
When he's very polite with the guests.
Right. Well,
the night I met you, you were going to a party at Amy Schumer's house.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
She was having a big shindig. She's got this crazy penthouse on the Upper East Side.
Yeah.
It used to be an old schoolhouse. It looks over the whole city. It's bananas.
But aren't you? You must be genuinely happy for her because
totally.
You know she's so funny and she's such a nice person. And to see her succeed, how could you not be thrilled for her?
No, right? Completely happy. I'm just saying I wouldn't want to live like that.
With too much fame and money.
Yeah, too much fame. You can't do it. I like being under the radar. I like having a walk of shame and just walking home and nobody knows it.
Right.
You know? The anonymity is underrated.
Don't you also think it's harder to judge what good material is
yes.
once you've reached that level? You know what I mean, right?
Louis C.K. used to say that in between sessions.
Careful.
But,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I opened for him for a while as well, and he would always say, I can't get a read on this. I can't tell it. It's so frustrating.
When you say you opened for Louis C.K., how specific do you want to get with that?
He wouldn't let me leave the hotel. No. I opened for his Netflix special and a lot of road dates. He's a great guy.
What would be, if you did reach that pinnacle of fame and fortune, though, what would be the one crazy thing you'd spend money on? What would you buy?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I wouldn't do a Seinfeld car thing.
No?
That feels like a waste. I would probably...
Really?
I'd do the big apartment in New York.
Yeah.
Really buy some land.
Yeah.
Buy some, you know, cool pads. I could have one all over the city.
Wouldn't
That'd be
that
cool.
be nice?
Like, I heard of... I'm not going to name any names, but there's one comic we all know and love... who has a giant apartment with his family, and then he has his own bachelor-y drunk drug house.
Really?
Yes, I'll tell you off air.
Oh. Can you give one initial?
Don't do that.
Oh,
you don't want a lawsuit.
Help you.
It won't help?
It won't help.
Is it Byron Allen?
No. I said comic. But, he's a millionaire, too. Don't get
He is. Didn't he just buy the Weather Channel?
Is that right?
Am I imagining things?
He's crazy rich. Like, insanely
rich. And not a drop of talent. Not a drop. He just has people on his show. They do their jokes. It's all written for. He just goes, what do you got, Johnny?
Right.
And they do their joke, and he gets a check.
But doesn't that almost qualify him as a genius?
Of course.
Yes.
To come up with that?
He's a businessman, but he's not. You know,
funny.
There you go.
Right.
That's the word. Yes.
What's that comic show where people go? I can't read
Comics Unleashed.
Well, he's got that, but now there's
John
another
Kelly
show.
Hosts this one.
It's like a game show almost. I don't know what it's called. It's on like at 3 a.m.
Yeah,
that's how
all of his shows are on really late at night.
But they're on.
Yeah. They're on, baby.
Yeah.
And he's killing it.
He's cleaning up.
He's a genius, but yeah.
Yep.
He's a marketer. He's all marketing.
Mark Norman's performing at Zanies tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Zanies.com has all your ticket information. We'll come back and talk more. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Turn your mic on to clear your throat?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
I want people to know it's real. Everything's real. Mark Norman is here. He's performing at Zanies tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday.
Yeah.
Mark, I heard you have a dog.
I do not, Byron Allen.
What happened? What?
Mark just complimented you and me and said, I love the way the flow of the show goes. You guys just talk. It's real. He goes, I hate these shows you go on and people go, so I heard you have a dog.
Oh.
They set you up with jokes, you know?
Right.
Brutal.
There's no time for that.
I'm not going to name names, but there's a show in deep Midwest where they have to go in. You go in with a setup, 12 setups. You hand them on a sheet of paper. And they just go one by one throughout the show.
A couple of years ago, before Wendy rejoined the show, we had a comic in who gave me a sheet like that, 2 pages of setups.
Yeah.
And when I would they said, you got to stick to the setups.
Wow.
That's all I do. When I'd read the setup, they didn't have answers or punchlines to any of the setups.
Weird.
Just ideas they were throwing out
there. Improv on the setup, or did you read it word for word?
I kept pointing at the sheet going, this is what you told me to ask you. You're afraid of puppets. How did that start? I'm not afraid.
That'd be so funny to give you that sheet, and then it was just like swastikas. Just to see how you handled it.
Right.
Set me up for that one, baby.
That would suck for us, too. That's not really an interview. It's you know, you're doing a presentation at school.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know.
When's the last time you were through Chicago?
Geez, I've been here so many times.
A while ago.
But I guess the Winter Wonderland, so I guess about a year.
A little over a year ago.
Winter Wonderland.
I guess
that was
so.
Tree time.
I'm not
kidding when I tell you people still come up. Now, that was a year ago, and they go, what was the comic you had on this guy? And then I say you, and they go, yeah, where is he still working? Yeah, he's still working. He's on TV right now.
Did he kill himself yet? Is
no,
he still
he's
around?
Not going to do that.
Well, thanks. I had fun. It was just 800 miles away.
It was a little far.
Yeah.
But
worth it, because you got some tinsel. We paid you in tinsel.
I got tinsel. I sat on Santa's lap, and I got pizza. There was
what
free
more
pizza.
Could you ask for?
Did you celebrate as a kid? Was it Hanukkah or Christmas or both?
I'm actually not even Jewish.
You're not?
I just went with it because it was it's all for humor, folks. That's why when people go like, how could you say those jokes? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not even Jewish. I just made it up. It's all for humor. I'll say anything to get a laugh, you know? I grew up in New Orleans.
Oh, you did?
So I'm a atheist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is everyone in New Orleans an atheist?
My parents are.
Oh, they are?
Big, fat atheists.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about religion. It wasn't even a thing. Like, we didn't, Sunday morning, you slept in. It was great.
Can I ask you this about New Orleans? Because it's one of the strangest cities I've ever visited.
Yeah.
When you live there, do you just grow up accepting that that's the way life is? You must, right?
You just think it's normal.
Yeah.
When I moved away, I moved to New York. That was a brutal transition, by the way. But, you just grow up and you're like, everybody parties like crazy. There's a French Quarter, Bourbon Street. There's whores and strip clubs and drugs. And this is a city. And I just grew up as a wild, feral lunatic. And then you move somewhere else, and I'd have a beer on the sidewalk. You're like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, sorry. I forgot there's rules here. Because New Orleans, I always equate it to like a dad who sells drugs but doesn't drive you to school. You know? It has all the fun parts, but it there's no infrastructure.
Right. Right. Yeah. The eeriest thing about New Orleans to me is at the cemeteries, people are not buried underground. They're buried above ground. That takes some getting used to.
Mausoleums. Because this flooding, the coffins would just rise up.
And it's happened before.
Many times. Yeah big Katrina.
Did you have a traditional Thanksgiving this past week?
I did. I went home and we did all the works, but they put a New Orleans twist on all the food. You know, it's like
what?
Like oyster stuffing or like turkey gumbo or crawfish cornbread. You
that
know?
Sounds really good.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing.
The food in New Orleans is
I have
unreal.
Never been there.
Wendy, you have
what?
To go.
I know. I've never been there.
Go before you turn 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to
get there now.
You gotta go. It's amazing. It's a fun time. The jazz is coming out in the streets, and the food is insane, and the architecture, and the you're gonna get laid. It's gonna be great.
Now are you gonna go now?
I booked my ticket
already. You just talked about when you're going.
There you go.
And you know what's interesting is the aroma, especially in the French Quarter, is strange because it's fantastic and abysmal at the exact same time.
Yeah, there's vomit and seafood, which I guess aren't that different. But it's great. It's a great time. Get some boiled crawfish and have an oyster and a po' boy.
Yeah.
Woo-wee.
Yeah.
It's the most unique American city.
It is, right?
It's like Vegas with culture. You know what I mean? It's fun. You can drink outside. It's very corrupt. Like, you get into a cab there and the cabbie has a beer between his legs. Like, and it's not even a thing.
Right. In any other city, you'd do time for that.
Yeah.
In New Orleans, they give you beads.
Exactly.
For some weird reason.
It's all about beads down there.
Beads are more, really, currency-wise, money's fine in New Orleans.
Yeah.
But if you've got a lot of beads, you're a very wealthy person.
Aren't they just plastic beads?
Yes.
Something about them. You get down there and you want one. It's women will show their bosom for a bead. That's like tradition.
For diamonds, maybe, but not for
no,
a plastic bead.
Just beads.
Beads, baby.
It's crazy.
You'll get down there, and you'll be mesmerized, and you'll be showing those cans all day once, just for a couple of pearls.
God. It's just like home.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's just
exactly.
Like home for Wendy. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, we've established that you don't want to be rich and famous.
Yeah, I'll take rich.
You'll take rich.
Yeah, sure.
Just not recognized.
Yeah.
But what? Like, do you have a goal right now? Like, what if I said to you, you can have anything you want, what would you be going for?
You know, like a Bill Burr kind of level.
Oh.
I just want to be known as a good comic, respected, funny. You know, maybe a couple bit parts here and there,
yeah.
But I don't need to be like. I feel like my mom doesn't know who Bill Burr is.
Oh,
you know, he's not like a household.
Yeah,
he's not like Madonna.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I would like. That'd be nice.
So some obscurity, but with a respect level.
There you go.
Right?
Yes, like you guys.
Yeah, like us. Please give Mark some beads for that one.
I don't carry
so
them
nice.
On me.
I'll show you my nips.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, they're
that's
not
excellent,
great, but they are real.
And what do you do for Christmas? Are you going to do a traditional Christmas for that, too?
I got a tiny apartment in New York, so it's a shoebox, so I get one of those mini trees, and I just throw that in the apartment. It's nice.
That's the extent of your decorating.
Yeah, because a big one wouldn't fit.
Yeah.
Can I ask you this about New York? One of my daughters lives there. You met my daughter's...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So one of my daughters is going to school in New York, and her apartment that she shares with classmates at school has mice in it, right? So they told the landlord that, and the landlord goes, well, you should get an exterminator. And they said, well, you'll pay for that, right? And he goes, no.
Yeah.
But they said in New York, that's standard. Like, stuff in any other city that the landlord is supposed to pay for in New York... What are you going to do? Sue me? Go ahead.
It happens all the time. That's those landlords are they're sharks. They're weasels. You got to tell her to call 311.
What happens there?
The city will handle it, and they will charge the landlord.
But she said if you think about that, they automatically raise your rate the next day.
That's true.
They said then your rent doubles the next day.
Yeah.
Who would ever go to New York after hearing
Isn't
this?
Isn't that horrible?
It's horrible. They're bad people. They really are. I had bed bugs, and I told my landlord, and she was like, okay, get an exterminator. I got one. She wouldn't cover it, and I moved out.
That's wow. See, that can't be. Why isn't there some governing force in New York like there is in other cities? They just don't do that?
Well, there's so many apartments that they can't keep up.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think that's what it is, yeah.
How did you ever get into bed again after having bed bugs?
I got to tell you, I was like a nom vet. I was waking up at 4 a.m. scratching like, There was like the slow ceiling fan above me. I was freaking out and scratching myself and sweating. God, it was bad. I've been robbed, I've been bugged, I've been me-tooed, I've been all these things, and I'll take all of it over bed bugs.
I can't imagine that.
How do you eventually get rid of them if
I moved. I got an exterminator, I bought a new bed, I washed everything I owned, I put all these poisons in my room, I did one of those bombs, you know, and nothing. They wouldn't die.
Isn't it crazy, though, that you're in hotels all the time,
yeah.
And you didn't get bed bugs, but they're in your own apartment in New York, there they were waiting
so
for you.
So true.
What's with that?
And bed bugs are choosy, because I lived with three guys, and I was the only one who got them. Isn't that weird?
How can that be?
They picked me. They sent something I'd good blood. I don't know.
Are you cleaner than them? Are you dirtier than them?
Well, one guy was pretty gross.
Yeah, so he's out.
Yeah, he's out.
Maybe it was that zesty Cajun aroma that you give off.
Oh, yeah. I'm spicy.
Maybe that's
that
part
was
of
it.
It's like a Creole blood.
They go, Mufalata, where's that guy? I got to get to that guy.
Yeah, you might have something there.
So do they physically bite you, or do they irritate? They do?
Oh,
you
yeah.
They feel it?
They literally take your blood. They suck your blood.
Oh, no.
It's funny because they're clear, and after they bite you, they're pink because they're filled with your blood.
Oh.
They're a clear bug.
Kind of like a tick, sort of.
Like a tick, but they're a little bigger, and they find these crevices in your apartment. Like, they go in the wood and stuff, and they go on the ceiling and the molding, so they're hard to find.
Oh, my God.
And they're they're not microscopic. You can kind of see them, right?
I'm trying to think about it. They're about the size of, like, a pencil eraser. Just the top of the eraser, you know, that
okay.
Perimeter there.
Now you're
so you can
my
see
language.
Them.
Oh, yeah, you can see them, yeah.
Because we had a pencil eraser problem in my place a couple of years ago. We couldn't shake them.
Yeah, those number twos.
We had all the worst.
They'll get you.
The absolute worst. Well, I'm sorry you had to go through that.
That was years ago. Listen, when I moved to New York, I got mugged three times in a year. then got bed bugs, and then my landlord died of AIDS. So it was like a crazy first year.
Wow.
That city was trying to spit me out. Your daughter has mice. She should take it, yeah.
If just, given the option, go yeah. with the mice.
Tell her to get the sticky traps. That's the way to go.
They that had is, them for a while.
That's too mean.
Well, you know, it's a dog gross. Eat dog.
Yeah. He's a trap.
Yeah.
Well, the sticky traps suck because they scream, and you got to throw them out while it's screaming in your face. So that's tough.
Oh,
how pleasant.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's excellent.
BB gun, what about that?
Yeah, is that all right, a
that's
BB gun?
That's not bad, but
yeah.
you're going to hit something.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Ping, 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 ping.
Right, yeah. Nobody wants that.
Red Ryder.
It's so good to see you again.
Oh, good to be back. I love Chicago.
Live here. Get a place. Maybe we don't have mice or bed bugs
we
in
do. We
Chicago?
Were supposed to be like the top of the bed bug heap. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How's the apartment rents here? Are they crazy? Through
pretty
the roof?
High, but probably less than New York.
Way less than New York.
All right.
Way
all
less
right.
than New York.
Maybe like, what are you, they, Wicker? What's it? Is it Wicker,
Wicker Park?
Park? Is that the hot spot? Where's a
are you a hipster?
No.
Are you not?
Nah.
No. You get a discount if you are.
Yeah, I'm not offended by words. And I don't need kale to survive. But
those are good things. Good.
Well, what's good. A good? What's a young chap? Where should I live if I did live here? What's a good
I would tell you Wrigleyville Solid.
Oh, Wrigleyville.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. I like
and
the
then
field.
If you make the team, you're just a few blocks from work.
There
so
you go. All right.
That.
All right. I don't feel like that'll happen.
We'll find you an apartment. You're here through Sunday?
Yeah.
We'll get you a place before Sunday.
All right.
It'll be easy. That now you have something to do this weekend.
Yes, I'm at the Hotel Lincoln.
Go see Mark Norman. He's at the Hotel Lincoln. Or watch him perform at Zany's tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Zany's.com has all your ticket information. Thanks for being here, Mark.
Thank
Great
you.
To see you.
God bless and go Cubs.
Yep. We'll take
and
a little break.
Our White Sox. Our White Sox.
Ah, sorry, White Sox.
That's all right.
You're fine.
Blackhawks.
Yeah, they could use some help right about now. Bears are doing well, though.
Hey, Bears. We've not better than the Saints.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand. It's all happening in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here, 720 WGN.
Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Alexander Zalbin. Alexander is the managing editor of Decider.com. If you love your TV and your entertainment, visit Decider.com. It's a great website. How are you, Alexander?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Thanks very much. Have to ask you something. Wendy and I were talking about this the other day, and we wanted to get your input on this. I don't remember years ago, this time of year, where almost every television show has like a seasonal finale where they stop their broadcasting late November and then pick it up again in January or February. Is this a fairly new concept?
I would say in the past couple of years, it's changed pretty dramatically, particularly in the rise of streaming, because you have these streaming shows that are dropping all the time. They drop the entire season, whereas the broadcast season, which traditionally was about, you know, 22, 26 episodes, depending on what the order is.
Yeah.
And they would always have a break there. But I think what they realized is they could drive more viewers by giving the sense of not, okay, you're going to start in September and we're going to build towards May with a bunch of breaks, but we're going to start in September and we're going to build towards late November or December. And that's where this big cliffhanger stopping point is. And then we'll come back for the second half of the season after the holidays are over. So they're trying to capture a little bit of that streaming magic, but on a broadcast schedule.
That kind of bugs me because, like, I watch This Is Us, New Amsterdam, all these shows, and they know what's going to happen because they've already made the episodes. I don't like that they're making us wait.
Mm-hmm. I have always been a fan of the more direct, do it as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Method. Like, I would rather watch 13 weeks of 13 episodes and that's it for the season. But oftentimes it just comes down to budgetary concerns. You know, they're looking, they've given a show a certain budget. It is budgeted for 22 episodes. They need to make markers on the network side in terms of selling ads for shows. So they can't just do 13 episode seasons. In a weird way, the CW, I don't know necessarily pioneering is probably too strong of a word, but they really push that early because they don't get as many ad dollars as everybody else. They don't get as many viewers as everybody else. So they've been able to experiment with that, and they've been really successful with that for the point that you're saying, which is it just drives your very direct tune-in for, you know, I'm a big fan of iZombie. I can spend these 13 weeks watching iZombie, and then I'm done, you know? And I think the networks, the bigger ones, are starting to catch on to that.
I'm sure in their mind also they're saying, well, you know, you got a month of holidays between Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. People are busy and distracted. Why burn out a good episode that means something to the legacy of the series during that holiday break, right?
Because we have DVRs. Who watches live TV anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely the reasoning. The funny thing, though, is then you go ahead and you look at Netflix's schedule, where this week is relatively light, but the next two Fridays are basically what we've been referring to around the office as Netflix apocalypse. It's just so many shows, so many movies coming out at the same time, even to the point, and these are all originals, mind you, then there's the stuff that they've actually taken on to the point that they're dropping Avengers Infinity War on Netflix on Christmas. So the streaming services are not afraid of this, and they're more than willing to drop content because they know what people are doing is they're home and they're watching TV with their families. So at some point, the broadcast networks, I think, are going to start to catch on to that piece as well.
I have to tell you, there is all of a sudden hope on the networks. I am loving a lot of the ABC, NBC, CBS shows that are out there now. And I'm enjoying The Conners. I watched it again, and I have to tell you, I'm not missing Roseanne.
Yeah,
I thought I would.
A lot of people are feeling that way.
I thought I would definitely miss her. Everybody is totally picking up the slack,
good.
And it's really funny.
That's excellent. Good, good, good.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, the network comedies, they're not doing great in terms of the ratings, but they're also not doing terribly. And the quality, as you said, I think critics agree, has been up across the board. And again, I think that comes down to the fracturing of the viewing space, where they know there's so much competition. You can't just put whatever on TV anymore and expect people will just show up for a star.
Yeah.
There needs to be something better than that, more quality.
Alex, explain this to us if you can. Every year during the holidays, they show Christmas specials from 25, 30, and 40 years ago. They'll show Rudolph, they'll show Charlie Brown, they'll show an old Lucy episode, a Christmas Lucy episode, and the ratings are generally pretty good. Now, in this day and age when you can record anything and watch it whenever you want, how is that possible that those ratings are still as solid as they are?
I think a lot of people still watch TV live, and per what we were saying earlier, a lot of times you're home with your family, you want a break from cooking or yelling at each other or whatever it is you're doing, and you turn on a holiday special and you know, okay, it's 8 o'clock, we're just going to watch Rudolph, everybody's going to chill out and do that. Even though a lot of that stuff is available on streaming, people like watching it. It's comforting. It's a tradition, and I think there's something to be said for that.
I love it. Every time one of those specials is on, I go out of my way to see it, but I'm amazed so many other people are like-minded. I would just think the way people schedule their time now, they wouldn't be watching it, but then I see the ratings and they're really high, so good for them.
There's also the sense, I believe we just put up a piece about this, one of our holiday special experts, Brett Wright, wrote about this, that the Rankin Bass specials aren't available free on streaming. You actually have to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sort of thing that if they're going to pop up, Frosty the Snowman or whatever, if it's on TV, it's free. You'd rather do that than pay the $3 on video or something like that. Why not?
I will tell you that the Thanksgiving Charlie Brown special, my 19-year-old son Michael was very upset he missed it. And I said, well, why don't you go find it on Netflix or something? He's like, I missed it.
Yep.
So these particular specials, you do try and see them live as they happen.
Right, right. Alex, they have canceled Daredevil. Daredevil's been on Netflix for, 3 years now, and now it will no longer be? What happened there?
Well, that's a big question. There's a lot of theories flying around, and we've had a bunch of stuff that's went up on the site already today and certainly discussing it around the office. Ostensibly, they just decided their statement said they wanted to close this chapter on a high note, was the quote. And a lot of people agree this was a pretty critically acclaimed last season of the show. They also noted that while the series on Netflix has ended, the three existing seasons will remain on the service for years to come, while the Daredevil character will live on in future projects for Marvel. So the suspicion everybody has is that Disney is launching their Disney Plus streaming service sometime next year. The thing that is happening there, and this is to simplify it as much as possible because it gets very complicated in terms of the business stuff, but Disney movies and Disney TV Marvel movies and Marvel TV are slightly different parts of the company, and they don't always agree on things.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV shows that are going to be on the Disney streaming service all come from the movies end of things. There's going to be a Loki TV show with Tom Hiddleston. There's rumored to be a Scarlet Witch TV show with Elizabeth Olsen coming directly out of the movies. And then you have these Marvel Netflix shows that are separate and have never been integrated with the Marvel movies that are in theaters. So the suspicion is, as soon as Disney Plus said, yep, we're doing all these Marvel TV shows, Netflix, who has the right to cancel these TV shows, including Iron Fist, which has been canceled, Daredevil has been canceled, and Luke Cage has been canceled, basically decided to pull the plug. They didn't want to be an advertisement for another streaming service.
Yeah.
That hasn't been confirmed by any means, but that's certainly the strongest rumor that
I've heard. Makes sense. Totally makes sense.
I'm on Decider.com right now and see the good news about Preacher being renewed. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, there's going to be a fourth season of Preacher. I believe they're moving production to Australia, which is going to make it a little cheaper, which is good for them. But as you know, Wendy, they ended on a crazy note at the end of last season.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very excited they'll be picking it up.
It's such a good show.
Yeah. And now there will be more kangaroos on it.
Crikey.
That's they excellent. Recast all the actors with kangaroos and koalas. It's a weird choice.
We want that. All right, more discussion about television with Alexander Zeldin from Decider.com. It is us. It's Bill Luff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Alexander Zeldin from Decider.com. Are you a TV fan? You got to visit Decider.com. Alex, this is something Wendy and I were discussing off the air, but let's bring you into it, too. A couple of days ago, we started talking about Julie Chen and her involvement in the show The Survivor over at CBS.
Big Brother. I'm a huge Big Brother fan.
Yeah.
And she started calling herself Julie Chen Moonves on the last few episodes of last season. And my husband and I were talking about this, Bill, and I, like, will she come back? Les Moonves is out. It was announced yesterday that she will be the host coming, I believe, January 19th when Big Brother kicks in again. That surprises me.
It's coming back on January 21st.
Okay.
It's season two of Celebrity Big Brother. So she will be behind the camera then. I believe she's still calling herself Julie Chen Moonves. For those who haven't been paying attention to the story, things got even a little worse with Leslie Moonves. There was a big story that went up a couple of days ago alleging more sexual misconduct. Here's my personal take on it, is she has a different career than her husband and shouldn't necessarily be judged on that.
Then why add his name all of a sudden?
That is my problem. I feel like she should stop doubling down on protecting Leslie Moonves. If she wants to have her own career, and she is perfectly within her rights to do it, you know, stop. You don't have to stop associating yourself with your husband on a personal level, but on a professional level, keep it separate.
And she's never used Moonves before, so
now
it's kind of like a passive-aggressive, you know, way to say...
It's a direct provocation, I think, frankly. And it's very unfortunate and certainly takes a lot of the attention away from Big Brother, which I know you're a big fan of, and a lot of other people are as well.
What if she changed her name to Julie Chen Moonves Cosby Spacey? Would that surprise you?
It definitely turn the conversation in another direction.
Yeah, I think it would. I know it would. There's a show coming on, Alex, inspired by Blade Runner, but from a very different direction. What is this show?
Ooh, that's a great question. So Blade Runner and anime are two of my non-fortes, really sort of blind spots for me.
It says on my sheet you've never seen Blade Runner. You've never seen the movie Blade Runner?
This is the most embarrassing fact about myself, because I have just neglected to watch Blade Runner.
It's really good.
Alex, go watch it right now. We'll wait.
Okay, well, you'll just hang on the air while I watch the...
Yeah.
And the sequel, too, as well. Yeah. You guys have time for that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, there is going to be a Blade Runner anime, which is a joint production of Adult Swim and Crunchyroll, which are two huge names in terms of anime. It's going to be created by some of the biggest names from other anime projects, people who worked on Ghost in the Shell and other things, as well as some folks who worked on a couple of short films that led into Blade Runner 2049, the sequel.
Yeah.
So the anime fans in the audience, in the office, specifically Kayla Cobb is our anime expert here. I could see her head explode from across the office as this news came out, because if you're an anime fan, if you're a Blade Runner fan, this is just so a confluence of so many things. We don't necessarily have a time for the debut, but it does seem like it's going to be 13 half-hour episodes. It's going to be called Blade Runner Black Lotus.
Interesting.
And I like the name.
Do we know, does it follow the Deckard character that Harrison Ford played, or do we not know that yet?
They're being a little cagey about it, but they said you'll definitely see some of the characters from the Blade Runner movies in this show.
Excellent. That sounds good to me. There's some news about the show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I have never watched that.
I haven't either, but my family goes nuts for it. They enjoy the show immensely. What do we know about the new news about it?
Well, for those of you who didn't watch it, it was absolutely one of my favorite shows of last year. It's a show on Prime Video from Amy Sherman-Palladino, who is creator of Gilmore Girls and the very underrated Bunheads. It follows a comedian in New York. She figures out that she wants to be a stand-up comedian. It's very loosely but not specifically based on Joan Rivers and her career. And she deals with a lot of personal relationship drama, but it's very funny. It's very fast. It's incredibly well-filmed. Got a ton of awards and critics acclaim last year when it came out. The second season is coming out this Wednesday, December 5th, on Prime Video. A little bit of an unfortunate news, the premiere, which we've seen and we reviewed here at Decider, is a huge misstep for the series.
Oh, no.
So I would not recommend getting into that, but it picks it up very quickly after that. Huh. So if you're a fan of the series, if you are returning it, definitely stick through the first episode because things get good, particularly when Zachary Levi, who some of you might know from Chuck and other shows, shows up as a romantic interest. It gets a lot more fun then. But at the very least, if you never checked out the first season, I highly recommend it.
All right, and I have time for one more question, and here's what it is. This guy, George R.R. Martin, the guy who is at the helm of Game of Thrones, has another show coming out, and this is from work he wrote prior to Game of Thrones, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a novella called Night Flyers, and Sci-Fi is rolling it out on an interesting schedule starting on Sunday at 10 p.m. They're going to air the 10 episodes over 5 days, then a break in 5 days, or you can stream it all immediately on Sci-Fi's website as soon as it's done. I'm sad to say I've seen the first episode, and it's not great, but if you are missing the bloody mess that Game of Thrones can become sometimes, characters are taken out very quickly in very shocking ways. So if you're looking for a bloody space drama, that might be your jam. I wasn't a huge fan of it, but completists might want to check it out.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks for hanging out with us, Alex. It sounds like a lot of good stuff coming up on TV soon, and we appreciate your input. Thanks so much.
Thanks, as always, for having me on.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
It's Alexander Zalbin, managing editor of Decider.com.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we still have that $100 gift card to Uncle Julio's to give away, so be listening for that Paul Simon classic when you hear it. Caller number 10, 312-981-7200. It's Bill, it's Wendy at 720 WGN. Did you hear me and Uncle Julio?
Yeah, down by the schoolyard. Yes, I did.
I love that song. That is such a great song. And you know who else heard it?
Mm-mm.
Marcy. Marcy was the 10th caller at 312-981-7200. Marcy, you have scored our $100 gift card to Uncle Julio's Made from Scratch Mexican. Yum, yum.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Bring Wendy and me. We're hungry.
I know.
Well, I'll go.
I can't wait for the dessert piñata.
Oh, yeah, the chocolate piñata.
That is just such a great idea.
Yeah.
I got to tell you that. All right, so Marcy, if you could bring anyone to lunch with you as we celebrate the new Uncle Julio's new lunch refresh bowls, who would you bring, and living or dead?
Oh, of course, living, my husband. We just were married 50 years in May, so.
Congratulations.
Celebrate.
This is our gift to you.
That's fantastic. Well done.
Thank you.
Any advice to how to stay happily married for 50 years?
Love each other and trust each other and
try that.
Take
when do you
day
see
by
what
day.
Happens?
Oh, I can't do that.
No. All right.
But it is work, isn't it? I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There are people like Bill who say, oh, it's so easy. I met the perfect woman, and it's all, you know, sunshine, lollipops, and stickers.
Yep.
But it does take work and compromise, and 50 years.
Right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right.
We are happy, and, you know, we have a wonderful family besides.
Aw, that's great news. We'll have a great holiday season and have a lovely lunch at Uncle Julio's. Hang on a minute. We'll get y'all your information. It's Uncle Julio's Made from Scratch Mexican. You can try Uncle Julio's new lunch refresh bowls, handcrafted with mesquite grilled steak or shrimp, braised pork, or sautéed pulled chicken. It'll revitalize your day.
I bet it does, too. You know, we had Alexander Zelbin on from The Decider. Can I tell you something I wanted to ask him and we didn't have time?
Yes.
But I'm curious as to your thoughts. A few weeks ago, Steve Carell was the host of Saturday Night Live. You saw the episode,
yes,
right?
I did.
At the beginning of the episode, during the monologue, they did a thing where the audience there kept pounding him with questions about a reunion.
I loved it. An office reunion.
And it included some former cast members, all of which who said, we want to do a reunion. Steve has been the one who, anytime a reunion is brought up, goes, I don't know. So they interviewed him a few days ago about that and said, hey, was that a hint? Like, during that bit on Saturday Night Live, you kind of seemed open to it.
He didn't.
He didn't, though, right?
No, he everyone else did. Jenna right. Fisher.
Ellie Kemper.
And what's his name?
And him. Yeah, they were all on there.
You know, I can't
think. Ed Helm.
Yeah, Ed Helm.
All right. So Steve said, and tell me if you think this is true, because I do, that character, Michael Scott, although uncomfortable 10 years ago, would almost be intolerable now because the political climate has changed so much. His character was built on being politically incorrect. And even though that was kind of smiled at and cheered on to some respect, in today's political climate, a guy like that would really have a hard time being sold as a hero on TV.
You know, it's a weird thing, Bill, because he is playing a character and he's demonstrating that there are really stupid people out there and people who do things wrong.
True.
So, you know, they're making light of that type of person.
Yes.
They're not putting them on a pedestal, although I got to tell you, each and every episode of The Office, and we watch it every night, that's now our nightcap. It's on all the time in our house.
Yeah.
I love Michael Scott. I feel so sorry for him. He is just...
He's well-intentioned.
Except to Toby.
Right.
He's so mean to Toby, I can't stand it.
Right. But do you see where... We're now 10 years removed from the heart of that show, right? From the heart of The Office. So that character, although we all know people like him, right, who say just the wrong thing at just the right moment, 10 years ago, that was so much more accepted, and we could easily laugh at that. But now, because everything is under a much tighter scrutiny, there'd be a lot more groaning than there would be laughing. Even though it's still really funny, our acceptance level has changed in 10 years, don't you think?
Yeah, and let me ask you, is that good or bad? Because
I don't know. I can't decide.
I don't want to offend anyone ever. That's
right.
My bottom line. I want to treat everyone with the golden rule. Treat others as you would like to be treated. But I laugh at things that are funny.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm the butt of that joke. Sometimes other people are the butt of that joke. Isn't that the whole point of a joke, is someone or something is the butt of it?
Without a doubt, but... You've seen this happen. A lot of times off air, we'll have a comic on, and I'll say, because I haven't done, my years of doing stand-up ended about 20 years ago, so I'll say, what's changed? And they all say the same thing. They all say, well, now they've got their phones up, and they're recording the show now, which never used to happen, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is that they said, in all the years I did stand-up, I'm not making this up, I don't remember ever hearing groaning during a show. If people didn't like something, they just didn't respond to it. But now they say, again, because of the political climate we all live in, is that now during a show, if you make fun of something and the crowd isn't for it, you'll just hear the, ah.
I think I let out an audible groan during Mark Norman's set on the air today.
I think I know exactly when.
Yeah.
And I don't blame you. Right. But that's another example. 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, if you have a stand-up comic on, yes, there's going to be things that are said that are like right on the border of offensive, but you just go, well, I guess he's doing his job. He's a stand-up comic. He's twisting reality just enough. Whereas now, everybody's a lot more vocal, and I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm somewhere in the middle on that.
I feel like it's not good for comics, and that's got to be one of the toughest jobs ever right now.
Yeah. Jerry Seinfeld's one of the guys that goes, I can't do colleges anymore because it's so politically correct that in the old days when I would do stand up, they would nod or laugh or but now everyone's judging you from word to word to word.
And if a comic, you know, if you laugh at something that's funny and someone is the butt end of that joke, does that make you a bad person if you laugh at it? That's what I don't know anymore. Am I allowed to laugh if something's funny? I'm seriously asking you
that. Right. You want to say an easy, quick yes, but then you have to check it and go, in most cases, yes.
But it really shouldn't be like that.
Especially to the point of a show. I would say The Office is in the top 20 to 25 best comedies of all time.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, put it in top 10. I'm sorry.
It could very well be. It could very well be. But without a doubt, it's so clever and there's so many great characters and the interaction's great. There's no doubt about that. But seriously, on almost every episode, you know what I mean, right? There's a couple times in every episode where it's so uncomfortable. But a decade ago, you were willing to give that uncomfortability, and now you're not. Now you're just like, more cringy than anything else.
Someone put the reboot of The Office would be successful to current Office fans, which is an astronomical amount. They wouldn't even need new fans.
Oh, that's interesting. That's really true.
I'm telling you, I was late to that party. I never saw Ricky Gervais's show ever.
Oh, it's so funny.
Really?
It's so funny. Yeah. It's similar enough to the American version, but different enough, and it's really good. And the same kind of element of every episode, a couple things where you just go, oh boy, I would not have said that.
Steve Carell was really, all the characters were so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to see it happen. And could they do it without Michael Scott? Because that's the rumor now, is it may happen, but no Michael Scott.
Yeah,
I mean, when he left and they had me, James Spader was there for a while.
Yeah. Will Ferrell for a while.
Yeah, I forgot he was on there.
Yeah, they tried out a lot of different people.
No Michael Scott.
No. It took a bit of a hit. It was still funny, but...
The most uncomfortable moment in television history to me, it might be the, if not definitely top five, when Michael Scott and Jan had their dinner party and they
have a fight.
Yeah. It's just such a horrible, terrible fight.
Right.
And
Jim and Pam were there, right?
Angela and
Rainn Wilson.
Well, Rainn Wilson was there with his babysitter. That's who as a date, because, you know, Jan wouldn't let him come with unless he had a significant other. So he brought his former babysitter.
Yeah. So funny.
It's really stupid.
Very funny. Yep. All right. We'll do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. If you want to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there. You can text us there.
We have some texts that we'll share. Will you dance with me?
Let's dance.
All right.
Put on your red shoes, Wendy, and dance the blues.
Do I have red shoes?
You better have some red shoes.
I don't.
Need them.
We've made it to a Friday. I hope you get some dancing in this weekend. It would be fun. We were talking about Steve Carell hosting SNL and some of his former Office co-workers.
Yeah.
Or employees, I guess I should say. He was their boss. We're wondering if there's going to be a reunion. You posed the question.
Well, he said himself, I'm not sure the character I played, Michael Scott, would hold up in today's political climate. And I'm kind of siding that way, too. I'd love to see him come back and do more episodes. I think that would be fun. The show was always funny. It made me laugh so hard so many times. But I understand what he's saying. Everything's under a lot more tighter scrutiny than ever. Nobody wants to be too offensive right now. Everybody's doing their best to not be too offensive. Michael Scott's character was built on being offensive. So how would that play out today?
If we all remember, says 563 in the text line, to be able to laugh at ourselves again, the world would be a happier place. Too many hurt feelings that aren't meant to be. Mm. Somebody said, I watch Johnny Carson reruns almost every night. Every show, there are jokes or bits that would not fly today.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question. You know what I was watching? One of the Dean Martin celebrity roasts.
Oh,
this
boy.
Was a couple of weeks ago. And I can't tell you how many times. Now, keep in mind, this was done in 1978, I think, or 1979. So do the math on that from 1978 to today. So that's 40 years, right? So I'm watching it saying, boy, half of this would not air on network television today. Half of it. I mean, every reference to Sammy Davis Jr. would not be mentioned today.
Yes, yes.
In any context. So much of it... Although uncomfortable at the time, that's what the roasts are, and I know they do them on Comedy Central now, and they're far raunchier than they ever were when they were on our television 40 years ago. But it's just so funny that nobody blinked an eye 40 years ago when this stuff was going on.
I know. Somebody else says, I don't see why it's okay to poke fun at someone's weight or intelligence, but not their religion or ethnicity. A joke is a joke.
Interesting.
Yeah. And this one I don't really understand. Let's say Wendy fell down and broke her neck and people are laughing at her falling. Would that be funny? Wendy, really?
Would it be funny to you or to me? It would not be funny to you. I might chuckle. But just for a moment, until I found out it was serious, then
but
I would stop chuckling.
Not funny. I mean, you know, if I fell in a way that was comical, then I deserve to be made fun of.
But you would go out of your way to not fall that way, that nobody would laugh.
Yeah, right? That's true.
You would, right.
That's true. I don't want to give anybody material.
Right. But that's there used to be a formula for comedy of somebody slips on a banana peel, very funny. I slip on a banana peel, not funny at all.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's how I felt when I first tried watching Blazing Saddles in the 90s. Everyone said it was a classic comedy, but I cringed the whole time.
Interesting. Because with that, you already knew what you were getting into, right? You knew it was going to be offensive, no doubt about it, with Blazing Saddles.
So if we think that movie is funny, does that make us bad people?
No. Of course not.
I guess that's my question.
No.
So if you laugh at something that's not politically correct, does that make you a bad person?
No, I don't think so. All right, so
can't you separate, you know, being comedically entertained and real life?
Right. Somebody just put these two words, Don Rickles ? And that's such a perfect example. When I was fortunate enough to see him perform a couple of years ago in Milwaukee, most of the show, I would say, I'm serious when I say this, and if you know Don Rickles' material, you'll agree. 85% to 90% of what Don Rickles was saying on stage that night and pretty much every night of his career was wrong. You know, it was stuff that we have now been trained to not laugh at as he went on stage and made fun of every ethnicity, every race, every creed, every color, every religion. He took no prisoners. He just made fun of everybody for an hour and 10 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes.
So if you're making fun of everybody, then.
Right. So then
not one person is singled out or one ethnic group.
Right. And he always, that night and in his whole career, at the end of the show, threw out a disclaimer that I always said, I wish he didn't do this. He doesn't need to do this. We know you don't mean it. But he would always, at the end of every show, explain, we're all here for a good time. We're just trying to have fun. You know, I don't mean anything mean by it. We're just having a good time. And
was it crowded? Because people paid to see
it. Not an empty seat anyway.
All right. Well, see?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, along the lines of Michael Scott, I constantly wonder, you know, because right now we're in an era where they keep bringing back old classic television shows. You know, Will and Grace is on again. The Connors are on again. Roseanne's old show is on again. So I keep saying to myself, I wish so badly there were more episodes of All in the Family. I would love to see how they handle what's going on politically in the country right now on All in the Family. It won't happen because, you know, two important elements of the show are missing. We don't have Carol O'Connor anymore. We don't have Jean Stapleton. But I would love to see that because I think the best part of what the Connors were, I haven't seen much of it this season, but I like the political back and forth that was going on in the show.
They still have it.
I hope so.
And, you know, the Connors is tackling a lot of things, unwed pregnancy, a black and white marriage.
Yeah.
Mixed race marriage.
A child that has possible transgender issues. Yeah.
Addiction.
Yeah.
Widowed Dan. I mean, it's really like
throwing on
all the dilemmas. Yeah. It's pretty good. And it's, I was thinking last night because Jim asked me, like, Michael and I watch it, and Jim's like, is it still funny? And I said, I have to be 100% honest with you. I thought I couldn't watch it without Roseanne. I don't even miss her.
Really?
I really don't.
Wow.
They're picking John Goodman and Laurie Metcalf and
that's some strong
Sarah
backup.
Gilbert. They're all doing Lisey Goranson. They're really picking up the slack.
Good. Very, very good.
Fishman, not so much. He's okay.
I picture him listening. He's getting into it a little bit more.
But we were talking about this off the air, and we liked him because he was a little kid at the time.
Right.
And he was good then. He's getting more comfortable.
Right.
But
I liked when Roseanne used to refer to him as Spock. because of his haircut.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's great. All right, we'll take a break. Wendy and I are headed to the stream. We'd love to have you join us there on the stream. That'd be a lot of fun. Or you could also stay right here and listen to Steve and the Wintrust Business Lunch. But first, I need to tell everybody this. You better start taking a look at your holiday shopping list and getting some stuff done, because the days are coming, and they're coming fast. How about some Omaha Steaks? I've mentioned Omaha Steaks before. They're so delicious, and you get so many of them when you order through omahasteaks.com. Here's what you need to do. For a limited time, go to omahasteaks.com and enter my name, Bill, in the search bar, because you will get 74% off the Omaha Steaks family gift package. You heard me right. It's 74% off. This was originally priced at $195, and it was delicious, but it's even more delicious and incredible at $49.99. Order now. You'll get 4 hand-cut aged top sirloins, 2 premium pork chops, for chicken fried steaks, for Omaha Steak burgers, for snappy kielbasa sausages, all beef meatballs, for perfectly browned potatoes au gratin, for made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets. That's a lot of food, right? They're going to toss in 4 more burgers for free. Omaha Steaks is a fifth-generation family-owned company with over 100 years' experience delivering perfectly aged beef, hand-cut by master butchers. Again, it's a limited-time offer package for only $49.99 when you visit omahasteaks.com and type Bill, my name Bill, in the search bar to add the family gift package to your cart. But don't wait. This offer is going to end very soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type my name, Bill, in the search bar to send an Omaha Steaks family gift package today.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.